Noong 2021, nagkaroon ng tension at disagreements between sa mga ilang Gulf neighboring countries. Some, dahil po dito, some borders were closed. May mga ilang trades ang naputol, and a few businesses were closed as well. And traveling from one Gulf country to another during noong time na to was very difficult. But after some time, a striking moment of reconciliation took place when tensions between these Gulf countries began to ease at dahil ho, nag-meet sila sa isang summit sa Saudi Arabia. After years of diplomatic tensions, leaders moved toward restoring relationships, reopening borders, and rebuilding trust towards each other. What stood out was not just the political signed agreement. They didn't just sign a deal or make a political statement. They showed publicly and relationally that they were willing to restore the relationship after years of separation and tension. So yung desire nila to be restored relationally ang pinaka-compelling sa kanilang reason para magpatuloy sa reconciliation na ito. Friends, what does it take to move from conflict to peace? What happens when reconciliation is not just between nations, but between two people? Two people who have been separated, hurt, or afraid to face each other. Unlike nations, we don't only make agreements. We carry in our hearts memories, wounds, and broken pride. In our passage today, sa Genesis 32 at Genesis 33, makikita natin that Jacob is not just negotiating peace, but meeting a brother he once deceived, and wondering if God's grace is still sufficient kahit mabigat yung history nila. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series sa Book of Genesis, the God of Isaac and Jacob. Nakita natin nung nakaraan na linggo na pagkatapos ng 20 years ng panlilinlang at manipulasyon, tuluyan ang nakawala si Jacob sa kay Laban. He no longer needs to deal with his father-in-law, and he is now heading towards Canaan, where God commanded him to go, lugar ng kanyang mga forefathers. But as Jacob journeys home, there is another relationship that he must deal with. His brother. A brother he has deeply wronged and escaped from for 20 years. Kung naalala ninyo sa ating mga nakaraan na pag-aaral, Jacob tricked ang kanyang kuya na si Esau and stole his birthright and stole his blessing. This was a family wound that has remained unhealed even after a long time. And maybe you're here this morning and you can definitely relate to that. And here's what we see is true. Returning to the place of God's promise is not only a physical journey, but also a journey of the heart. Because sometimes the hardest homecoming is not to a place, but to a person who hurt us. Ang prayer ko sa ating ngayong umaga ay makita natin that true reconciliation is possible only through God's transforming grace. At makikita natin ito as he humbles Jacob, confronts his fear and sin, and restores his broken relationships, ultimately pointing us to Christ. God humbles, transforms, and reconciles his people by grace to accomplish his purposes. God humbles, transforms, and reconciles His people by grace to accomplish His purposes. We have divided this passage into 3 points. Number one, the Lord reassures and confronts. The Lord reassures and confronts, chapter 32, verses 1 to 21. Number two, the Lord breaks and blesses. The Lord breaks and blesses, chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. And number three, the Lord reconciles and returns. The Lord reconciles and returns, chapter 33, verses 1 to 20. So first part, we will see that Jacob prepares to meet his brother in fear, but God meets him to reassure him of his promises. And then sa second part, makikita natin that God wrestles with Jacob, exposing his self-reliance, crippling his strength, renaming him, and marking him as one who depends on God. And finally, number three, makikita natin that God sovereignly softens Esau's heart, brings reconciliation, and safely returns Jacob to the land, fulfilling his covenant faithfulness. Let's jump right in sa ating very long sermon ngayon. We're not really very long. Okay, maybe. Number one, I'll repent later. The Lord reassures and confronts. The Lord reassures and confronts. Basahin po natin muli in the English Standard Version in chapter 32, verses 1 hanggang 8. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, "Thus you will say to my lord Esau, thus say your servant Jacob has sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen and donkeys, flocks, male servants and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight." As Jacob returns to Canaan, kailangan dumaan si Jacob sa region kung saan malapit nakatira ang kambal niyang kapatid na kuya na si Esau. For 20 years, Jacob carried the weight of guilt in his conscience for deceiving his brother. And now he returns, a changed man, humbled, in hopes of being reconciled sa kanyang kuya. Jacob has every reason to be encouraged sa journey na to. Why? Because the Lord prospered him in wealth, prospered him with children, preserved his life from Laban, and gave him promise that he will be with him as he returns to his father's land. Such wonderful promises. And now on his way back to Canaan, the Lord once again reassures him sa kanyang pangako by allowing him to see or witness a camp of angels. Sabi sa verse 2, ano makikita po natin sa verse 2. Now, witnessing and seeing angels, hindi ho bago ito kay Jacob. 20 years back, nung paalis siya ng Canaan, papuntang sa Padam Aram, in a dream, he also saw the angels of God. It's the same term na ginamit ito sa Genesis 12, sa ginamit niya mismo sa 28 sa Genesis chapter 32. Ngayon naman, nakakita siya muli ng angel nang paalis naman siya ng Padam Aram papuntang Canaan. So, pabalik. Some would say yung structure niyan ay some sort of chiasm na halos pareho po yung book ends and then yung pinaka-center point niya ay nasa gitna, yung point ng passage. Kaya tinawag ni Jacob ang lugar na ito ay Mahanaim. Na ang ibig sabihin ng Mahanaim ay two camps o dalawang kampo, which means isang kampo full with angels kasama ang kanilang kampo, yung pamilya niya at kanyang mga ari-arian. So those are two camps. Somehow, it's an image of God's assurance that He will be with him, that He will protect him, that He will guide him, knowing as he marches with his camp, may isa pang camp na nakapaligid sa kanila. This should spark courage and confidence kay Jacob, knowing that God's angels are clearing the pathway towards Canaan. A picture of God's relentless grace sa buhay niya. For the past 20 years, God's been working in the life, sa buhay ni Jacob, humbling him, maturing his faith. We saw last week that he gave credit to the Lord sa harapan ni Laban in everything. Ganun din ang sinabi niya sa kanyang mga wives. Now he knows that the first line of business before he goes back to Canaan is to make it right with his brother. He believes ito ang tamang kong kailangan gawin. Kaya nagpadala siya ng messenger kay Esau sa kanyang kuya para ipaalam sa kanya that he was in town, basically. Nagbigay siya ng instructions kung paano i-address ang kanyang kuya at kung paano siya i-address. Ang paggamit nga ng my lord to address Esau at your servant to address himself is hindi ito yung pareho ni Laban na parang flattery o nang bobola. This was sincere, a sign of his repentance sa pagkakasala niya sa kanyang kapatid. Ang paggamit niya ng kanyang yaman ay hindi ito isang uri ng pagyayabang. Di ba, makita niya sa verse 10, sinabi niya, ito ang aking ari-arian, marami akong oxen, maraming sheep. Hindi ho siya nagyayabang dito. Kung hindi, ay ipinapahiwatig na niya na handa na siyang magbayad para ituwid ang kanyang mga nagawang mali. It's a hint. God has blessed me and gusto ko makipag-ayos. His messengers brought back after nung pagpunta kay Esau, a message of, as he sends his messengers, his messengers brought a message of peace kay Esau. Pero pagdating sa verse 6, pagbalik ng kanyang mga messengers, hindi daw nagbigay ng kahit anong verbal response si Esau. His silence was terrifying para kay Jacob. Instead, ang dalang mensahe ng kanyang mga messages ay ang papunta na raw si Esau with 400 men. Yun lang ang mensahe na binigay. Walang na tayo nakitang nadagdag sa Bible from there. This message did not comfort Jacob, but alarmed him. Tingnan niyo sa chapter 32, verse 7. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and herds and camels in two camps, thinking if Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape. Ang bilang na 400 men is really considered a size of a small army. Kung naalala niyo po yung Genesis chapter 14, si Abraham nung niligtas niya ang kanyang pamangkin na salirat, nagdala siya ng 318 trained men. Now, 400 trained men with a big brother na balbasarado na pula, namumula, et di hamak na mas nakakasindak ito kesa sa 318. At saka hindi ito patago, pareho ni Abraham, head on ito. Pupuntahan sila harap-harapan. Remember, ang huling nabalitaan niya kay Esau ay papatayin siya. Yun ang mismong nag-e-echo sa kanyang isipan, sa bigat ng kanyang puso. Kaya walang ibang papasok sa isip ni Jacob kung hindi sasalakayin siya ng kanyang kapatid. He has every reason to fear and be distressed. Hindi lamang siya nag-aalala para sa kanyang sariling kapakanan, nag-aalala rin siya sa sariling kapakanan ng kanyang mga anak, ng kanyang mga asawa, at lahat ng kanyang ari-arian. Kaya in his panicked response, his instincts kicked in. Hiniwalay niya kaagad ang mga tao at mga ari-arian sa dalawang kampo para kung sasalakay man ang isang kampo, makakatakas, may matitirang isa. In short, naka-survival mode na po siya dito. Natantaranta na siya. And yun yung instinct. He's a wise man, basically, Jacob. But sometimes too wise for his own good. Kung obserbahan natin ang passage as a whole, mapapansin natin ang patterns ng response si Jacob from verse 7 ng chapter 32 hanggang chapter 33, 1 to 3. Kung titignan nyo yung verse 7 to 8, he plans. Verses 9 to 12, he prays. Tapos sa verses 30 to 21, he plans again. So verses 22 to 32 naman, he prays again. Tapos pagdating sa chapter 33, verse 1 to 3, he plans again. Pray, plan, pray, plan. Now, hindi ito nangangahulugan na may kakulangan siya sa pananampalataya nung ginagawa niya ito. Alam naman natin kung kanino siya tunay na nagtitiwala. Kasi makikita natin ito mamaya sa verse 9. He trusts the Lord. This is an important thing to remember. God calls us to act responsibly in the midst of a crisis, even as we trust Him. Hindi lang ito ordinaryo na parang let go and let God. God in His providence give us experience, means for us to think solutions. Of course, dapat naka-align po ito ayon sa kanyang kalooban at sa kanyang salita. At nakita natin ito kay Jacob dito. He both prays and plans. So dapat dalawa po. Hindi lang pray and wala tayong gagawin. He prays, but hindi rin pwede puro plan, and walang humble reliance through prayer sa Panginoon. Again, in His providence, God orchestrates yung situation na meron po siya ngayon. This is an important thing to remember. He strengthens and matures Jacob's faith not by removing immediate threats that cause his fear, but by growing his faith as he faces one he dreads. Hindi niya tinanggal ang problema. Pero dun pinalalago ng Panginoon ang kanyang pananampalataya in the midst of a threat. Friends, the same is true as God grows our faith. Hindi pinangako ng Diyos na tatanggalin niya ang lahat ng danger or even the feeling of danger sa ating buhay. Instead, He promises to sustain us in the midst of fear and danger, and that our faith would endure. God strengthens our faith not by removing our trials, but by sustaining us through them. At ito ang isa sa mga marka, paraan kung paano God strengthens and matures our faith, at ito yung ginawa niya mismo kay Jacob dito. And how do we know that Jacob's faith is maturing sa situation na ito? Anong ebidensya, Pastor? Well, makikita natin ito sa kanyang prayer. Verses 9 to 12. Chapter 32, 9 to 12. In your Bibles, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, said to me, return to your country, to our kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I've become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, I will surely do you good, and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Ito ang kauna-unahang prayer ni Jacob na recorded. That shows his spiritual maturity. First time he prayed na iligtas siya sa kapahamakan. At ito rin ang pinakamahabang prayer recorded sa Genesis. He is now starting to pray like a patriarch. There is one chapter na hindi talaga, ni isang mention ng pangalan Lord wala. Now he prays. We can see now through as we advance sa different chapters, nakita natin ang seasons ng maturity mismo ni Jacob. A few things to observe sa kanyang prayer. Una sa verse 9, he prays a prayer of adoration. He calls to the God of his grandfather Abraham and to his father Isaac. The God who promised Abraham that he would bless him to be a blessing to the families of the earth was passed on to Isaac and now to him. He's calling on that God. He calls to the God of his fathers, worship and not lifeless idols. Jacob derives comfort by contemplating who God is in the midst of a threat. At mga kapatid sa Panginoon, this is how we want to start praying to the Lord. We want to focus on the person and the character of God in our prayers, praising Him for who He is. And we too should derive comfort in reminding ourselves of who God is. Ito ang dahilan kung bakit tayo nagsisimula sa gawain by reading and praying Scripture sa ating call to, before sa call to worship, to be reminded of who God is and to remind us of the reason why we came to worship. Pangalawa, He holds God to His promise. Nung sinabi niya na ikaw ang nag-utos sa akin to return to the land of my fathers, sabi mo, you will be with me, prosper me, protect me. Basically, yun yung what it means to be when God says, I will be with you. He is pleading the promise of God. Tapos pangatlo, sa verse 10, He humbly acknowledges na hindi karapat-dapat sa lahat ng kabutihan na pinakita sa Kanya ng Diyos. Hindi siya karapat-dapat, lalo na ang kanyang steadfast love. As Jacob meditates on God's goodness, kindness, love, grace, and mercy, he cannot help but to reflect of his own sinfulness. That's the beauty when we start prayer by opening the Word. We are reminded of God's beauty, majesty, holiness, sovereignty, and grandeur. Meditating of sa Panginoon na ito causes us to humble ourselves. Na walang wala tayo kumpara sa Kanya. Naalala niya siguro ng lahat ng nagawa niyang kasalanan habang he was meditating on who God is, lalo na sa kanyang kapatid. Maari siguro part of him sinasabi niya, kung papatayin ako ng kapatid ko, I deserve this. Iniisip niya yung kanyang mga pamilya. Iniisip na lahat ng panluloko, lahat ng pagsisinungaling na nagawa niya sa kanyang kuya at tatay niya. At ang sinabi niya na lahat ng guidance, lahat ng prosperity at protection na nareceive niya for the past 20 years ay dahil lamang sa sovereign grace at mercy ng Panginoon. He did nothing to earn such a blessing and favor. Do you see how he was humbled and mature in the faith? He's acknowledging that he's a sinner. Apart from God, he cannot do anything. He cannot receive anything good. Tapos sa verse 11, obviously, kinakatakutan niya si Esau, kaya he prays that the Lord would deliver him and his family sa wrath ni Esau. I was meditating this on Monday, and throughout the week, I cannot help but to be moved sa prayer niya na ito. He was being honest sa kanyang fears. He was being honest na hindi niya alam kung anong mangyayari sa kanya. Friends, you do know na you can be honest sa prayers ninyo sa Panginoon, hindi ba? That's why sa New Testament, Jesus said, cast your cares, your worries, your anxieties on me. Why? Why, Lord? Because I care for you. Kaya ng Panginoon yan. Tapos sa verse 12, papapansin natin na binasi niya ang kanyang prayer sa covenant promise of God sa encounter niya with Him sa Bethel sa chapter 28. At sa promise na binigay ng Panginoon kay Abraham sa Genesis 22, he now realizes that the promises of Abraham are promises to him as well. Friends, how does your prayer sound like lately? When you face fear or uncertainty, do your prayers rest on God's promises or more on your concerns over circumstances? When praying, are your words guided more by Scripture or by your feelings? How often do our prayers include adoration of who God is, His character, and His person? Could it be we have become too careless sa ating mga prayers? Could it be that we are praying vain repetitions sa Panginoon. Friends, Jacob's prayer challenges us to let God's word shape the way we speak to God. Prayer is not meant to be driven by vague, thoughtless, empty repetitions or emotions, but formed by Scripture, grounded in God's promises, and filled with worship shaped by His character. Yan po dapat ang ating prayers. Maybe you're here this morning, you're asking how to know God's character more deeply, Pastor. Para yung prayers ko become grounded and rounded sa truth ng Panginoon. Paano? How? How can I improve such prayers? Let me give a few suggestions. Number one, pray the Scripture. Pray the Scripture. Pray God's Word. That's the reason why we open God's Word first before we pray. We ground our prayers first in God's Word. Let God's Word shape your prayers. As you read and meditate daily, turn Scripture into prayer, asking the Spirit to help you respond rightly to God's revelation. So pray Scripture. Number two, commit to our prayer meeting. Commit to our prayer meeting. The church is a praying body, not just individuals who pray privately. Ang next prayer meeting po natin is on June 7. As we seek the Lord corporately, in dependence on His promises, this is a good time for us to observe how brothers and sisters pray. That's one way we can learn, is to observe, which is yung third. Learn praying Scripture from the life of the church. Learn praying Scripture from the life of the church. Observe how your elders and mature believers, brothers and sisters, pray in corporate worship. Observa niyo kung paano sila magpray. Let their Scripture-shaped prayers train and correct our own. Now, it would be, alam ko minsan when we are asked to pray sa ating groups, probably, we immediately back out. No, hindi, wag ako, wag. Nakakahiya, hindi ako kasing galing mo mag-pray. Hindi po ito sa magaling mag-pray. It is us praying, talking to God as guided by His Word. If you always shy away sa prayer, maybe baka hindi ka matuto mag-pray. Maybe it's pride. Allow brothers and sisters to correct you, even in prayer. Kasi they're there for your good. I trust you pag meron, they're not thinking about being perfectionists. They just want what is best for your spiritual welfare. So pray Scripture. Learn Scripture from the life of the church. Fourth, pray to the Lord to teach you to pray. Ask the Lord to help you pray, teach you how to pray. Parang yung disciples ni Jesus Christ sa Luke 11, di ba? Ano sabi ng mga disciples ni Jesus Christ? Lord, teach us how to pray. Kung ang mga disciples ni Jesus Christ nakasabi niya for the past 3 years, ask that the Lord would teach them, we should ask the Lord to help us pray. Because if I were to be honest with us, hey, Mumaga, may mga prayers tayo that are really sinful. It may sound sincere, it may sound nice, but if we look at Scripture and compare our prayers, nagkakasala na tayo. So pray the Scripture. Going back sa ating passage, verses 13 to 21, in that same night, makita natin si Jacob sends extravagant gifts para kay Esau. Verse 14, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. Nagpadala na si Jacob ng maraming regalo sa kanyang kuya, a total of 550 animals. Ayon sa mga scholars, ang mga regalong ito ay good enough to satisfy and impress a king during that time. It was a generous gift. Kung isipin natin ganong kayaman si Jacob na he can spare such gift and still be rich.
Ganun siya ka wealthy and prosperous.
16 to 21 and chapter 32. Jacob, being prudent, hindi pinagsabay-sabay binigay yung mga regalong animals na ito, kung mapapansin ninyo. Pinadala niya ito per batch. Okay? Per batch niya pinadala. No, because he is wise, is yun ang kanyang diskarte. Pinadala niya ito per batch para may enough time si Esau i-admire kada batch yung mga animals. At makipag-interact sa kanyang mga servants at tanongin, kanina galing to? Sino amo mo? Ah, si Jacob na yun, kasunod namin. Isipin nyo, paulit-ulit yun, iba-ibang klaseng animals, trying to impress, trying to please his brother. And by the way po, sa inyo lahat ito. So kumbaga, medyo hinihilot niya ng konti, no? Ini-impress niya. Ba, siguro may 200 na kasunod. Diba? Isipin mo kung pera yan, ano? O, 100,000 muna. Sige yan, galing sa kapatid mo. O, ito, may 1 million? Ano kaya ko sunod? So, sunod-sunod. So, kita mo yung, hindi ko lang kung gaano ka-generous sa time natin yun, but he is trying to appease his brother. Isa lang naman ang script nila eh. Kapag tinanong sila ni Esau kung sino ang amo nila at sino ang mga nagmamay-ari ng animals, sabihin lang nila, ang inyong lingkod na si Jacob, ang magmamay-ari na ito, regalo na ito, sa inyo lahat po ito at kasunod namin siya. Ang lahat ng ito ay pinagawa ni Jacob to appease his brother. Jacob here is trying to correct the wrong he has done sa kanyang kapatid. Kaya para sa kanya, it doesn't matter kahit gaano karami ang kanyang ibigay, basta i-appease lang niya ang galit niyang kapatid. Although alam ni Jacob na walang guarantee ang action na ito to soften his brother's heart, ang takot ni Jacob kay Esau ay nag-uugat sa isang bagay na ginawa niya. Have you ever experienced that? That you feel the wrath of a certain person, it's because sa kagagawan mo. And you not just fear that person, you carry that weight of guilt within you. Alala ko nung bata kami, kapag may nagawa yung isa sa amin na mali, bilang mga bata, mga lalaki, sasabihin namin, o sige, sorry na, sige, suntukin mo na lang ako sa mukha. Magpapasuntok na lang ako. That's my generation, by the way. I don't know about your generation. Pero ganun sa pag meron kami nagawang mali at hindi namin ma-appease, makalma, o sige, suntukan na lang dito. Huwag masyado malakas, ha? Hindi naman siguro sa mukha, sa braso lang. So ganun po, parang ganito yung itsura na ito. Kadalasan he's the man with the plan, eh. Pero this time, he could not correct what he has done wrong. He had to trust God alone to deliver him from this messy situation. And this is where the Lord grows his faith. Tingnan natin ang number 2. The Lord breaks and blesses. So verses 22 to 23, nung gabing ding yon, pinauna na ni Jacob ang kanyang pamilya at lahat ng kanyang pagmamay-ari at tumawid sa Jabbok River at nagpaiwan siya mag-isa. Maaring sa oras na yon, nilalamon na siya ng takot at pag-alala. Nanunumbalik na siguro sa kanyang alaala ang lahat ng mga nagawa niyang mali kay Esau at ang mga maaaring gawin sa kanya at ng kanyang pamilya. So, alam mo yung paranoia na to. Maaaring sa panahong ito, he was tempted to scheme, he was tempted to deceive and lie, or maybe kagaya ng ginawa niya kay Laban, he was tempted to run away. Maaaring he was tempted to overthink and worry instead of trusting in God's promises na kung saan kanina lang nagpakita ng mga kampo ng anghel. Ginawa na niya ang lahat, nagbigay ng generous gifts, he staged yung presentation, may script pa ito, pero lahat ng ito ay walang guarantee na mapapalambot niya ang puso ng kanyang kapatid. This time, he cannot scheme, manipulate, and run. He can't escape 400 men. He cannot escape 400 men. May mga anak siyang maliliit. May mga tupa siya. Marami siyang dala. Jacob is now in a situation where he does not have any control, unlike before. Maaring nanginginig na siya sa takot at sa lamig ng gabi at the same time sa takot, no? Alam mo yung nagsabay yung nilalamig at natatakot ka? Sipin mo na lang yung panginginig. Now, tulad ng ating mga inaral ng mga nakaraan, walang aksidente o coincidence, hindi po ba? Walang nangyayari sa buhay natin na hindi kinaloob ng Panginoon. Ang circumstances ay maaaring kagagawa ng iba o ginawa natin, all is under God's providence and rule. Kasama na dito ang sitwasyon ni Jacob. This was not an accidental isolation yung ginawa ni Jacob. Hindi po to accident na naiwan siya, pinauna niya. It was a providential setup. Sinetup ito ng Panginoon. God brings Jacob into aloneness so he can be dealt with directly. And how did God dealt with him directly? Tingnan natin yung Bibles natin, verse 24. A man wrestled with him until the break of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken. For the day has broken." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. Habang nag-iisa si Jacob sa dilim, what appears to be a man attacked him. Madilim eh. A man attacked him. Jacob, hindi nagbaback down, lumaban. Dahil sa madilim, hindi niya makita kung sino ang umatake sa kanya. Maisa ka isa kaya ito sa mga bandido na gusto siyang nakawan? O di kaya ito iniisip ni Jacob na si Esau kaya ito na nag-surprise attack sa akin? Since ilang araw na niyang pinag-iisipan na kung anong gagawin sa kanya ni Esau? So Jacob fights back and wrestles with him with all his might, grappling and slamming and punching and choking, pulling the beards, twisting arms and legs for submission, buong magdamag until the break of day. Just imagine, naghahabulhin na nga sila, pawis na pawis, dugo, pasa. So marahil, ang tinatanong ninyo siguro sa community group ninyo, itong mga nakaraan na linggo, is, sino yung mamang yun? Who was that man who attacked? Unahan ko na kayo, hati po ang mga sound scholars po dito. Some would say it was an angel that represented God. Pero, nang mas naniniwala po ako that this was God Himself. It was God Himself who took a temporary human form. Kasi sa verse 28, it tells us so. And Jacob in verse 30 identifies the person he wrestled with. Makita niyo po yan, ano? Hindi na tayo kailangan tumingin sa mga komentary. Sa verse 28, sinabi niyan. Sa verse 30, he identifies the person wrestled with God. And adding to this, you move forward to Old Testament, sa Hosea. The prophet Hosea identified this man as the angel of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Hosea chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. Hosea chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. At babasahin ko po sa inyo. Babasahin ko po sa inyo ito sa Christian Standard Bible. Hosea 12, verse 2. "The Lord also has a dispute with Judah. He is about to punish Jacob according to his conduct. He will repay him based on his actions. In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel, and as an adult, he wrestled with God." Verse 4, "Jacob struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel, and there he spoke with him." Verse 5, "The Lord is the God of armies. The Lord is His name," or "the Lord of hosts." So malino sa passage na ito na ang Prophet Hosea identifies this man who wrestled with Jacob as the angel of the Lord. So, dyan nyo rin makikita kung bakit may disagreements between scholars, because some claim it is an angel. Pero sa Book of Genesis, ang angel of the Lord ay ang usual term na ginagamit to represent physical, visible manifestation of God Himself. Ang tawag po dyan ay theophany. Theophany. Theo means God, appearance, yung phany. Many sound theologians believe na hindi lang siya basta theophany, kung hindi Christophany. or yung appearance, yung pag sinabi yung Christophany, the pre-incarnate appearance of God. From the word incarnate, God became flesh. Christ showed himself, appeared himself temporarily in a human form to his people. Ang tawag po dyan ay Christophany. Where the second part, he is the second part of the Trinity. God the Son takes on a temporal visible appearance. In this case, he took an appearance of a man. So it was God who wrestled with Jacob. So buong magdamag. So you now can rest your case. It was God. A Christophany. Now nabanggit sa verse 25, balik tayo sa ating book, sa Genesis 32. The man did not prevail against Jacob. Teka muna. If this is God, then bakit nag-prevail si Jacob? Parang lumalabas na nanalo si Jacob. Well, una, let me tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean that Jacob overpowered God. It simply means that God did not immediately overpower Jacob. Okay? For a time, according to his sovereign plan, God allows Jacob to continue to struggle, continue to wrestle. This is God's deliberate grace. And when it was time to end it, by a simple touch, Jacob's hip ay na-dislocate. Sabi ho dyan touch, some of your translations said slap. I would say mas accurate yung touch because it communicates something supernatural. He cripples him, disables him, God breaks him. Doon lang niya na-realize that he's not dealing with an ordinary man. He comes face to face with God. You see, all throughout Jacob's life, he was wrestling. Siguro WrestleMania 1 siguro sumali ito si... Now, that's only for those of you 80s babies and 90s babies or teenage lives ng 80s and 90s. WrestleMania, when we talk about Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and Andre the Giant. This is one of the best WrestleManias na nangyari. And ang pinaka-main wrestler dito ay si Jacob. He was wrestling all throughout his life. He wrestled with his brother, chapter 25. He wrestled with his father, chapter 27. He wrestled with his father-in-law, chapter 29. And now he is wrestling with God, chapter 32. Jacob always struggles with both God and man. The reason why God sustains this struggle is not only to show a picture of Jacob's life, but also to break Jacob's self-reliance, self-rule, self-trust, self-will, and control to bring him to dependence on God. He broke Jacob so that in weakness, makita niya yung grace and strength ng Panginoon. Somehow, nag-e-echo rito yung New Testament na sinabi ng Paul, when you are weak, there you are strong. God gave him a physical limitation after touching his hip that would prevent him, well, obviously from walking straight, but to prevent him, lalo na, from whining, from winning by his own strength. And now he had no choice but to cling to the Lord. When he was injured, he clenched. So Jacob says, sa verse 26, sabi ng man, bitawan mo na ako at magbubukang liway na yung laangat na yung araw. Sabi ni Jacob sa verse 28, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Bakit nagmamadali itong mamang ito? Vampira ba ito? Matutunaw ba ito? Pag sumikat yung araw, ay nandung... Yung ba? No. It's much more compelling than that. Sweeter than that. No man sa Bible, sa Old Testament, has seen God and lived. Bakit sa gabi nagpakita? So that he would not see his face.
It is God's grace
na hindi niya pinakita. If not, he will be destroyed. He was rushing because he is extending grace. But of course, this is God's sovereign plan, hindi ba? He wants to bless Jacob. Hindi bumitaw si Jacob until he receives a blessing from God. He did not arrogantly ask for the Lord to bless him dahil nananalo siya. But gaya ng sinabi ni Hosea 12, chapter 12, verse 4, he was weeping. Yun ang sinabi ni Hosea. When he was asking, he was weeping. He was humbly begging, crying to the Lord, bless me! Bless me! Because now, the broken Jacob knows kung gaano kahalaga ang blessing ng Panginoon. He now desires it. Now he wants it. Natatakot ako. Hindi ko kaya to. I need your blessing. When the man asked for his name, not because he does not know Jacob, kasi sa Bible, to disclose your name is also to reveal your character and your identity. Kaya kung ang pangalan mo ay Jacob during that time at bata ka, mahihiya ka sabihin yung pangalan mo eh. Kasi ibig sabihin ng deceiver. When God asks his name, it's really to reveal his character and identity. At nung binanggit niya ang kanyang pangalan, Jacob! It's like a confession. Confession of his guilt. Jacob, isang manluloko. Jacob, isang sinungaling. Jacob, isang nagmamanipulate. Jacob, niloko ang matandang tatay na halos hindi makakita. Jacob, na kung saan niloko ang kanyang kapatid twice. It's a confession. I am a deceiver, a cheater, a liar. His humble confession led to transforming grace. Verse 28, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. God changed his name to Israel, announcing his new character, his new identity. Israel means Jacob is renamed as the man who, having been broken by God, clings to God in dependence and receive covenant identity and grace. A man broken by God, a man relying on God's grace. For striving deceitfully in his own strength to striving for God's blessing. As a deceiver, Jacob is not allowed to enter the promised land. But as Israel, he can enter the land and receive it as a gift and an inheritance from God's hand. Friends, we are no different from Jacob. We are all prone to trust in ourselves. We love to control things. We love to control our lives. We love to control people's lives. We scheme. We rely on our own strength instead of surrendering to God. We wrestle through life trying to win God's favor on our own terms. And in doing so, we remain distant from God, marked by sin, pride, and self-reliance. But here's the good news. Jacob was wounded in order to be blessed. He walked away limping, but limping as a changed man. Limping as a forgiven man. Limping as a man who has now have a new identity. In a far greater way, friends, Jesus was also wounded. Not in the hip, but on the cross. He was broken for us, not because of his sin, but because of ours. On the cross, he took the judgment we deserve, And through his suffering, we receive the blessing that Jacob longed for. Full forgiveness, a new identity, peace with God, reconciliation with God the Father. Friends, stop resisting God in your pride and start clinging to him in humility. Cling to Christ. Come to him not in your strength, not with boasts, but in weakness and humility. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Friends, I urge you to repent from your sins and place your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. And all who repent from their sins and place their faith in Christ, ano mangyayari? He will be delivered, given a new identity, no longer sons of this world, but sons of God, brought into a restored relationship with God, and receive the blessings of His grace. And what blessings are those? The blessings of His presence, His mercy instead of judgment, and a transformed life that learns to depend on Him alone. So friends, repent and believe in Christ. So verse 29, Jacob, encouraged by his new name, asked the man's name. In a way, tinatanong niya ang identity ng mamang ito. What is your, nga pala, ang pangalan nila? To which, sinagot siya, why is it that you ask my name? Parang suplado naman ng mamang to. Pero ano ba, it's significant. In short, the man is saying, Jacob, I don't need to tell you who I am. You already know. I just supernaturally dislocated your hip. I just changed your name. By the way, it is God who changes names. Abram, Abraham. Sarah. Jacob, Israel. Sons of this world, sons of God. I just changed your name. And now, I will bless you. Sabi sa verse 29. These are the only pieces of evidence that Jacob needs to know that he had an encounter with God. Verse 30. He called the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Teka muna, madilim yun ha. Akala ko ba, face to face? Well, basically it means face to face there is not literally face to face. Ang nakita niya, it means he has an encounter with God. Thus, he calls it Peniel. So verse 31, sumikat na ang araw nung umalis na siya sa Penuel. He now has a new name. Kasi just imagine, umakat na yung araw, naglalakad si Jacob. Dugyot na dugyot. Puro alikabok siguro dahil nakipagrambulan. May pasa si Ryan Damit. New name. New smile. New walk. Not just literally, but his walk in faith. Ang angas, no? Kahit pipilay-pilay siya. Ang disability na ito, ang permanent mark na iniwan ng Panginoon sa kanya para ipaalala sa kanya of the encounter that he must not rely on his own strength. Antindi ng marker na yun. Alam mo yung pagdidiskarte sa aray. Oo nga pala. What a marker. We have a much greater person to remind us, and that's the Holy Spirit. So we have it better kay Jacob. However, naging tradisyon na rin sa kanila noong time na yon na Israel, the nation Israel, time na yon, naging kultura na lang na hindi na nila kakainin yung meat ng thigh ng isang beef, ng isang baka. As to remember, hindi lang si Jacob, to remember that they should not rely on their own strength. If they want God's grace, they need to humbly rely on God Himself. Number three and last, the Lord reconciles and returns. Ang laking takot ni Jacob nung nakita niya siguro yung 400 men na papunta sa kanya. We don't know kung puro kabayo ito. We don't know kung magmamarcha ito na may mga... We don't know. Basta papunta ito at nakaluhod, no? Si Jacob. So, this time, Jacob, although takot at nasisindak si Jacob, he's a different man na dito. He's ready for to face Esau. Not by tricks, not by lies. He doesn't know what to expect sa kanyang kapatid. He is only trusting the Lord sa outcome. Sa part na to. So verses 1 to 3, makita po natin na he arranges his family according to what? Importance, basically. According sa social status, according sa affection. Inuna ang kanyang mga dalawang female servants, and then si Leah at yung mga anak, and then si Rachel at si Joseph. So yung dalawang slave girls na wife niya at kanyang mga anak, and then si Leah at kanyang mga anak, and then si Rachel and si Joseph. Joseph lang nabanggit kasi isa lang. Now, kung ikaw si Simeon, magtatampo ka sa tatay mo eh. Doon pa lang nakikita nila kung sinong paborito eh. Hintayin natin chapter 50, makikita yung full-blown. Si Joseph the Dreamer. Yan ang paborito ni Jacob. Pero magtatampo ka eh. Magkasaksakan dito, mauna kami. I mean, I'm just playing around, no? So, si Rachel, of course, has his heart. And si Joseph. And then he places himself sa harapan. Eh, naman pala. Hindi naman siya sa likod ni Rachel. Doon siya sa lap ng kanyang pamilya. Nagbago na itong mamang to. So, he bowed before Esau's face. Yung bow dito, hindi po ito yung naka-pray ka na may, prostrate, no? Talagang yung mukha nasa lupa. 7 times bowing habang papalapit sa kanya si Esau. Although ang blessing sa kanya ni Isaac sa chapter 27 is that he will be the Lord of his brothers and his mother's sons will bow to him. Dapat baliktad. Binaliktad niya ito. He did this in reverse. Siya ang nagbow sa kanyang kapatid as an expression of shameful theft na ginawa niya sa kanyang kapatid and repentance. And besides, God wants him to do this. Sa verse 4, malayo pa lang nakita na ni Esau na nakaluhod yung kanyang kapatid. Probably seeing this, tumakbo pa kanya. Papunta sa kanya si Esau. Malamang ipagluhod niya, ipagangat niya, nakita niya papunta yung kapatid niya, tumatakbo. Parang alam mo yung inaantay mo na lang. He doesn't know what to expect. He expects the worst, yet he's trusting the Lord. That's really hard. He's not just waiting for a punch. He's also thinking, ano mangyayari sa mga anak ko? Ano mangyayari sa mga asawa ko? Pero Lord, I trust you. At sa kanyang kinagulat, he hugs him and kisses him at nag-iyakan silang magkapit. Now, this is not the cute cries, no? Na parang sa pelikula yung daan-daan bumabag. This is really ugly cry. Yung nanginginig-nginig pa. Ito, walang tulog itong mamang ito. Bumungod na magnakipaggrambulan ito. And isipin mo lang yung heightened emotions niya, lalo na. They were crying. Hugs. Ito ang direct answer ng Panginoon sa prayer ni Jacob. Na, please deliver me from my brother Esau, for I fear him that he may attack my family and me. God has changed Esau's heart. Hindi natin alam kung kailan binago ng Panginoon ang kanyang puso. Maybe it was years back. Namiss niya yung kapatid niya. Niisip niya yung kapatid. Saan yung kapatid ko? Mari, it was 20 years ago. Handa na siya. O maring hindi. Mari, siguro may murderous intent siya talaga nung nakita niya yung patakbo siya. Pero siguro, in the midst na papalapit siya, God can also change his heart. Upon seeing his brother, naalala niya yung tatay niya. Naalala niya yung nanay niya. Naalala niya yung kabataan nila. He hugs him. We don't know kailan yung time. Why we cannot put a time stamp dito. But one thing's for sure, God did change his heart. God has changed Esau's heart. Hindi natin alam kung kailan. Or maybe, Ang hindi natin alam, for years, God is already working sa life ni Esau. Preparing him for this very moment. This, my friends, is God's common grace sa mga tao outside His covenant. The first thing na lumabas sa bibig ni Esau ay hindi yung nakaraan. Hindi yung, kasi ikaw eh! Kulit mo rin ano? Lukuhan mo ako? Ang ginawa mo ako parang ewan. Hindi eh. Ang unang tinanong niya sa verse 5, chapter 33, sino itong mga to? Pinakilala niya ang kanyang pamilya according to social status and affection. And then, ang ginawa ni Jacob, dito mo makita nagbago na tumamang to eh. He tells him, it's because of God's grace. He gives credit to God alone. Ang pangalawang tanong sa kanya ni Esau sa verse 8, anong ibig sabihin ng napakadaming regalo na ito? Ito ang response si Jacob. Look at your Bibles in verse 8. To find favor in the sight of my Lord. But Esau said, I have enough. I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Jacob said, no, please. If I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept. Because God has dealt gracious with me, and because I have enough, thus urge him, and he took it. Piniliwanag ni Jacob na pinadala niya ang mga regalong ito to win his favor. But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. So in short, binless din siya ng Panginoon. Pinayaman siya ng Panginoon. Pero hindi siya yung covenant head. Kasi anak siya ni Abraham. Kasama yung blessing, at least yung material wealth. It seems like God blessed Esau, or earthly riches. But more importantly, God also changed Esau's heart. Esau refuses to accept ang mga regalo, but Jacob insisted. And he said something interesting sa verse 10. I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. This is somehow connected with his encounter sa Panginoon, ano, earlier. Kasi ito yung connection na ginawa ni Jacob. When Jacob has seen the face of God through the wrestling, nabuhay siya, hindi siya namatay. And now, he sees the face of Esau, expecting also to die, he lived. So, when he saw God, the immediate response is, mamamatay siya, pero hindi siya namatay. Ngayon nakita niya si Esau, expecting mamamatay siya, hindi siya namatay. Ang totoo niyan, Jacob was not ready to see Esau's face until he first saw God's face. His encounter with God transformed him and prepared him to meet his longtime enemy Esau. Esau accepted Jacob's gifts as a sign of restitution, of peace and reconciliation. At sa part na ito, masasabi na natin, napatawad na ni Esau si Jacob and is reconciled to him. Malinaw na pinakita ng Panginoon kay Jacob that it was His sovereign grace that caused Esau's heart to change. He is showing that reconciliation is ultimately God's work, not Jacob's gifts or strategy. Mga kaibigan, ito ang mahalagang bagay na dapat natin maunawaan. That God brings reconciliation sa relationships natin and to Him by His grace. Not by human manipulation, not by human control. It's a wonderful experience. It's true. You cannot extend forgiveness or ask forgiveness kung hindi mo inayos yung vertical relationship mo sa Panginoon. Una ang vertical, ngayon horizontal. Handa na siya, binago na siya ng Panginoon. Kung wala tayong pagbabago sa puso, hindi maayos ang vertical natin sa Panginoon, wala tayong mabibigay horizontal. Friends, do you believe God can soften even the hardened hearts of people who continue to do you wrong? Or people you have done wrong thinking na hindi ka na nila mapapatawad? Are there people you have to stop praying for because you've already concluded na hindi na magbabago ito? Are you pursuing reconciliation right now? That's great. But is it true peace, and is it really for God's glory and for true peace? O baka naman nakikipag-reconcile lang tayo, tapos ginagawa natin just to relieve our own guilt, anxiety, discomfort, at para hindi nakakahiya. What gifts or actions are you tempted to use to manipulate others in securing peace without ever addressing the heart before God? Friends, are there relationships where God may be calling you to step forward in humility, even without certainty of the outcome? Are there brothers and sisters at crossroads you are avoiding or keeping at distance because of unresolved tensions? Brothers and sisters, let us stop trusting in our own strategies and secure peace with others, and instead depend on God, who alone can change the hearts of these people. You must trust the Lord that He can change your heart as well. Friends, we do not need to manipulate others to secure acceptance, nor despair when reconciliation feels impossible. Instead, we are called to act wisely, humbly, while trusting God to do what He can do, transform hearts, and bring peace according to His grace. Here's a few tangible ways quickly, and I know I'm running out of time. Here's a few tangible ways for us to reconcile with others. Number one, if you're here right now and you want to reconcile, one, acknowledge the fear and conflict honestly before God. Acknowledge the fear and conflict honestly before God. Bring your concerns to the Lord in prayer. Name the relationship tensions truthfully in prayer, rather than suppressing it or controlling it. Reconciliation begins vertically before it moves horizontally. Ilapit niyo sa Panginoon. Second, stop relying on manipulation and self-strategy. Stop relying on manipulation and self-strategy. Repent from ways na we are trying to manage or manage reconciliation through control, manipulation, or indirect strategies. Instead, ang gawin natin, let's humbly come before God, humbly come before these people. Third, submit yourself first to God's breaking work. Magpabasag kayo sa Panginoon. Ask God to examine our hearts first bago mayroon tayong inaalagaan na pride, fear, bitterness, self-preservation. Baka yun ang mga inaalagaan. Natingin natin tayo ang laging biktima. Kailangan ilapit natin sa, kung yan ang dinideal sa iyo ng Panginoon, let Him break you. Let God break you before you proceed to reconciliation. Kill that sin. Kill it. Reconciliation is never just relational. It is first a personal heart level repentance. Repent and then be reconciled. Fourth, take initiative in humble, courageous pursuit of peace. Huwag mo nang antayin. Do not wait indefinitely for the other person. Where appropriate, take the first step in humility. Five, speak and act with humility, not entitlement. Approach reconciliation without defensiveness or demands. Be willing to lower yourself to reconcile. Six, trust God to do what you cannot do. At ano yun? Change hearts. Nagpakumbaba na nga ako, hindi nga nag-sorry eh. Teka muna. Kaya nga dapat mauna ka sa Panginoon, eto ka na naman eh. You're coming there not para masuklian ang iyong pag-sorry at pagsisi. You leave the results to God. He's the one who transforms hearts. Trust God for the things that you cannot do. Seven, and last, receive reconciliation as God's grace, hindi achievement mo. When reconciliation happens, do not treat it as your success, but as God's mercy sustaining His people. Praise God, nagkasundo na kami. Walang wala eh, kasi alam mo naman tayo, sales talk. Alam ko yung kiliti niyan eh, kaya alam ko yung sasabihin ko. Huwag tayong ganun. Going back to our passage, verse 12 to 16, makita natin na inimbita ni Esau si Jacob na sumama sa kanya sa Seir in Edom. pagdating naman sa verses 70 to 20, the last verses, Jacob goes towards Bethel or Canaan, pero nag-stop over siya sa Sukkoth, and then he stops to Shechem. Now, may mga ilang bagay tayo na dapat matutunan dito sa dalawang incidents na to. I think there is a couple of lessons we can see here. Unang-una, tama lang na hindi sumama si Jacob kay Esau sa Seir. Sa biyaya ng Panginoon, hindi naggalit at nag-amok si Esau. Si Jacob is now the covenant head. And his job is not to mix or intermingle with this one who was not, who has chosen a different path sa Panginoon. So tama lang na hindi siya, at saka hindi siya talaga dapat magstay sa Seir, sa Edom. Sa Canaan siya dapat, sa Bethel. So tama lang ginawa niya. Now, sa verse 14, parang gumawa na naman siya ng deception dito eh, si Jacob. Since hindi siya sigurado, siguro makumbinsin ni Jacob na papuntayin sa kanyang lugar, parang nagsinungaling na lang siya. Sige, susunod ako. Alam mo na, may mga bata, pagod na. Tapos itong mga mahirap na, baka mamatayan pa ako ng mga alaga. Sige, iwan ko yung mga tao. Kailangan pa ba yan? Di na. Ikaw naman talaga. Is it necessary? Diba? O di ngayon, alatang hindi pa rin sila nagtitiwala sa isa't isa. No? Pero hinayaan na lang. Hindi natin alam, nagparaya na lang ba si Esau? Maaring gagawin din talaga siguro ni Jacob yon balang araw, pero hindi lang yung time na yon. We don't know. Pero sabihin ko sa inyo kung ano talaga ang maling ginawa ni Jacob. Verse 17 to 20. Jacob did not fully obey the Lord after reaching the land. Imbis na dumiretso siya papuntang Canaan, as God commanded him, nag-stop over siya sa Sukkoth, nagtayo ng shelter para sa kanyang mga flocks, tapos pumunta pa siya sa Shechem. Hindi yun ang lugar na dapat siya nandoon. Sa Shechem, bumili siya ng lupa at doon nagsettle. Marami siyang temptation, no? Maraming temptation siya. Maraming attempt siguro siya sa Shechem. Ano ba meron sa Shechem? Because Shechem was a crossroads. Not this one. It's a crossroads. Strategic itong lugar na to eh. Prosperous place ito. Jacob probably was drawn to comfort, convenience, opportunity na mas lumaki ang kanyang business, stability ng lugar. This led him, dahil dyan, to partial obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. And spiritual compromise. Imbis na dumiretso siya sa Canaan to fully obey God's command. Alam ba yung ginawa niyang ito? There's a grave consequence itong ginawa niya. Alam niyo kung ano nangyari? Next week. So, hindi, isang oras ulit. Hindi, may mangyayari sa anak niyang babae. Isa lang ang anak niyang babae. Si Dinah. Very shocking. So, next week, bumalik po kayo. Magdala na kayo ng chichirya para hindi kayo antukin. This serves as a reminder and a warning sa atin. And I'm closing right now. This serves as a reminder and a warning sa ating mga mananampalataya na we are still tempted to settle for partial obedience and become comfortable sa mga compromises. At kung tayo man ay nasa ganitong sitwasyon, mga kapatid sa Panginoon, kung ikaw ay nandun, nasa partial obedience ka ngayon at nasa compromising situation ka, makakaasa tayo that God in His love will discipline us. He will not allow us to remain in disobedience. By His grace, He will call us back to full obedience and trust in Him. Genesis 32 to 33 shows a God who humbles, transforms, and reconciles His people for His covenant purposes. God changed Jacob by His encounter with him. He moves from wrestling to dependence, from self-protection to costly reconciliation with Esau. Yet, the passage is not ultimately about Jacob's strength or yung sincerity ni Jacob. This passage is about God. It's about God's persevering mercy, faithfully bringing His promises forward through a weak, yet transformed servant. Tulad ni Jacob, tulad natin. God humbles, transforms, reconciles His people by grace to accomplish His will. Let's pray. Father, You are the one who humbles. You're the one who humbles us in mercy, wrestles with us in grace, and perseveres us by Your faithful, loving hand. Help us not to depend on our own wisdom and strength, Lord. Break our pride. Break our self-sufficiency. Help us to see Christ. Help us to cling to Christ. Make us people who trust Your word more than our worldly schemes. Help us to pursue peace and reconciliations to those who harmed us and those we have harmed. And as the gospel is preached today, may You draw many to Yourself, bringing them in a reconciling relationship with You through Your Son, Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.